The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. As well as you can be on a Monday, I guess. I don't know. I struggle with Mondays sometimes. And today's one of those days. I think it's
Garfield.
I think it's a matter of the clocks changing around a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of throwing me off a little bit, but I don't know. We're recovering. So how you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing all right, I guess. I had to take my dog to the vet today. So, you know,
That
was fun. It was a quick appointment. But he gets all stressed out about it. So I had to like pick him up and put him in the car. And he's heavy. So that was daunting. But other than that, it's been a good day. The perks of working from home on a Monday, right? Especially after the clocks change, you're like, this is the life here. I'm excited to talk some of this stuff. I went to 5 minutes of a game this weekend. We'll talk about. Got to meet some good people, so that's always good. But so we're going to be diving into match week 4 of Major League Soccer. Match week 1 also of USL started. We'll just kind of briefly talk those results. I know Logan got it. Did you get your Charleston jersey yet, or is it still in the mail? Oh, that's right. It went down to Miami, right?
Yeah, went down to Fort Myers. Now it's in Tampa. I don't know where it'll end up next. I'm hoping Orlando.
Like, next thing it says it's in Charleston, and you're like, what?
Yeah. I'm very confused by shipping and how that all works.
Yeah, I know. My wife did the same thing before. She's like, why did they send it? Like, ours went from, like, Philly to D.C., then to us one time for something. She's like, why? I was like, they probably put it on a truck that was just heading down this way.
Yep.
And it was the only package not going to DC or whatever. They're like, throw it in there. And then it gets to DC and they're like, oh, this got to go back up. And then That's probably how it got around, instead of sending like one truck with one package down to us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I imagine it was on a train or a plane or something. And they were like, you know what? It needs to go to Fort Myers and then we'll get it over to Orlando.
Yeah.
But I think the time crunch, like, anymore, I never expect things on time since COVID. Like, I think COVID threw everything for a loop, so I don't think there's as many employees anymore, and just...
Yeah.
It's tough.
All right, on that depressing note, we'll go over to our headlines that we are talking about here. We had what a thrilling match this was. Philly hosting Seattle. I was there. It's my second game in the pro. Well, let's not say that. It was my my 95th minute in the press box. I went last year for Columbus, Philly. This year, I was like, oh, I'll go see like Seattle, and it just worked out schedule wise more than. My original plan was to go opening weekend, but then I was sick, actually. So I didn't apply for the pass because I was like, I'm not feeling good this week. And then they haven't been home yet. So I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll go ahead and apply for this. And, you know, it was a pain getting there because it was raining like pretty well on the drive up. 95 was kind of a mess. You could barely see in front of you at times. But once I got there, everything was pretty good. It was raining, but it wasn't like raining heavily. And I think if people go look at the pictures I posted on the Stateside Soccer Show Twitter, when they're doing warmups, the field looked pretty okay. Like, it did not have puddles. It was not like pooling water anywhere. That, like, I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely going to get played. I had no thought in my mind it was going to get postponed, except for maybe lightning, if there's lightning in the area. So, you know, I dropped my stuff off at the thing. I go and ate too many pretzels and stuff like that in the media dining area. comeback. I got to meet Jose Nunez, who is, you know, doing great work covering the team. I got to see Todd again from the free kick. You know, I got to finally meet Kyle, who runs a union podcast as well with his wife, and he was there. People that I've interacted with on Twitter before, Rachel, you know, part of North American Soccer Reporters, all those good people I got to meet in person and talk non-soccer stuff too, you know, just talking, having a good time. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to my seat. I go to my seat. I'm like watching the warmups. I have a good seat this time. So I'm like, oh, this is fancy. This is going to be a good game. And I'm, you know, pulling up all the tabs on my laptop, which I didn't have last time. I have a laptop now, so that made me feel a little bit more professional as well. And then as it's getting closer to kickoff, you start seeing more puddles. And I'm like taking pictures of the field. I think I have one from like when I got there and then probably like 30 minutes later, right around kickoff time. And I'm like, oh, this doesn't look like that bad, but like, I was starting to get a little worried at that point. They did kick off. And while it wasn't as bad at kickoff, there were signs, Logan, that it wasn't going to be a good game. I mean, Union kicked the ball off to get us started. And on that kickoff, the ball barely moved. Enough so that like a Seattle player started approaching it and were thinking, oh, maybe he has to put a little bit more on that, but it's not going much, you know, it's not going far. Then as both teams start actually playing and kicking the ball around, you start to see, oh yeah, thank you. You start to see the ball not move at all. And then players have to like stop suddenly to try to keep with the ball. And I was talking to some people next to me. I'm like, I was a little worried somebody would get hurt, you know, because it is sudden stops. Your foot could get caught in the grass, I guess. It was not great. The ref stops at 5 minutes, like 36 seconds in, and is just down there discussing for probably 20 minutes with players and whoever they're talking to with the league, I guess. And there was a few players that went and picked up a ball and just right in front of the ref spiked the ball. And the ball did not bounce. It hit the ground and stayed there. Not even a move. Like, it was stuck. And you're like, yeah, you can't even bounce the ball. Like, the ball is not even bouncing. So at that point, I'm thinking there's no way they get this game going. Now, I had hope, you know, the original delay was 30-minute delay, but I was thinking at that point that may just be them trying to figure it out. They had people come on and try squeegee the field, and it looked good when they were squeegeeing it, but by the time they were done on the right side, the left side looked awful again. And it's just because it takes them like 20 minutes to squeegee a field. It's three or four people squeegeeing. And at that point, they called the game around 8:30, I would say, that they said, oh, this game is actually going to be postponed, made up at a later date. Please exit. So then we all kind of got up. You know, we packed up. I left. I got home earlier than I thought I would. Blessing in disguise, by the way, with the hour time change. And then, like, Logan and I had to record something yesterday. That's like early morning. It was a blessing in disguise that this thing was postponed for me and for people would say the Union too, because they had to leave Sunday. They had to leave Sunday to fly, and they have a game tomorrow, Tuesday, for the Champions League. It was a really tight fit. That's why they couldn't play Sunday. If people were like, why didn't they just push it to Sunday? Right call at the end of all of this, though. I know the Sons of Ben were booing like crazy. I get it. You got there, you drove there, whatever. I drove an hour and a half, and I was like, this is still a good decision. And I saw some people online that are Seattle fans that paid money to fly here, get there, agree that this was the right call. I mean, the ball is barely moving. You're either going to get injured, or it's just going to be a disgrace of a game on what you're watching here. The I've seen people compare this to last week's LAFC game. And why did they call this one then if they let LAFC play? And I think I am of the opinion of, still, they shouldn't have played last week's game at LAFC. I was bringing that up in the press box. I was kind of getting pushback from people saying, well, snow's different. Snow's different. And I'm like, but it was so much snow that they were having the same issue. They weren't able to run at full speed. They had to slow down. They had to like be careful. And I was worried about injuries in that game. This time the league got it right. And I think what I was preaching in the press box was, it's week three. Sorry, match day four. But it is week three, and there's no need to force this game right now. There's just absolutely no need for it. You can make it up. I believe Seattle comes over to DC in April or something. They can fit in a midweek game. Unless if the Union move on two rounds, they'd have to win like two rounds, this round and the next round of the CCC. I don't think they're doing that. So all in all, it'll probably shake out. It'll probably be fine when they do make it up. I'm going to try to be there for it. But ultimately, I think it was the right call at the end of the day. Even if it made me drive 3 hours for no reason, I still think it was a good call.
Yeah, you were talking about DC. Seattle comes over on the 27th of April to play at Audi Field. So they don't have a midweek game that week. The only reason that I think either of them would have, Philadelphia would have a midweek game is if they advance in the CONCACAF Champions.
Yes, they have to win two. They have to win this Pachuca game and the next set, which is going to be tough.
So I don't think it'll be an issue. I think that's probably when they'll try to schedule it. If Philadelphia is looking at that calendar going, all right, if we do get bounced from the Champions Cup, which I think could be likely, I think that they'll look at that date as being a possibility because they don't come back over here on the East Coast until like close to the East Coast until June.
They go to Columbus, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be the other option, I think. Or they would just have to have Seattle tough it out. The Union are in a great spot. They got to absolutely have this pushed for them with the travel coming up. And then also, they're the home team, so they don't have to worry about travel the way Seattle does. Seattle is going to get the short end of the stick when they do make this game up. They are locked into these rosters now, too, for this game because of the fact that they started playing. So these are the players that would have to play. So even if like De La Vega is back for it, he can't like play. So that is going to be another issue that Seattle might have with it too. I saw some people think like, oh, the Union benefit from this, blah, blah, blah. Almost like insinuating I don't know if they're serious or not, but insinuating that we had the field do that on purpose. But I'll say I saw a lot of Union players actually trying to get them to play, and I still don't get that either. I was like, why are you wanting to play in this? I get it could probably be fun, but it was rough looking. It didn't feel like you're watching. Like, there was a chance Seattle had right before they call the game pretty much, and it kind of gets stopped because the ball just stops. Like, the ball just stops moving, and it's like that probably would have been a goal or at least a better chance than it was.
Yeah, completely unplayable. When you can see the reflection on the screen, when you're taking pictures of it, you can see the reflections of the lights off the sitting water. You could just tell it was waterlogged. So too bad that you couldn't see that game, though. That'd have been a fun one.
Yeah, well, hopefully I get to see the replay of it. Depends, unless if it's in like July, then I'm probably not going to be able to see that one. And I assume the reason why they haven't scheduled is, like you said, they have to wait for that CCC stuff. Like, if they get knocked out tomorrow, you might have a report that says April 23rd they're playing this game, you know, because at that point then they'll know both teams are free. I said NYCFC, yes, I'm calling them that, versus Portland. Portland wins 2-1. They were down in this game, right? They didn't take the lead, right? NYCFC took the lead early, and Antony had an equalizer in the 85th minute, with then Evander scoring the winner to make it a 2-1 victory in the 97th minute. That is crazy. You know, Evander's just coming back from injury. So you have that. You have Timbers are also trying to bring in a Uruguayan forward, Jonathan Rodriguez from Club America. That may have been who, I guess it was Merritt Paulson referring to at a certain point this year when he was saying, like, oh, these next two DP signings are going to be huge. I'm guessing he means that. But yeah, so Portland, what do you think? Are they actual contenders in the West now? I put out a tweet Saturday while I was, I think it was like while I was in the press box or as soon as I got, no, you know where it was? I think it was like when I stopped to use the restroom. I took a picture of the standings and I said, the top of the table is looking a lot like what the bottom of the table, what people thought the bottom of the table would look like. And that was for like all teams, like West and East. Cause like you got Portland up top, you have Galaxy near the top. You know, over in the East, you have like, what, DC near the top, Montreal near the top. It's great. Toronto was near the top when I took that screenshot. Yeah, so do you think Portland actually has a shot? They're top of the West, 7 points.
Yeah, I think they've made a case for themselves, and I don't know, like it's so tough to have full confidence in a Phil Neville team to actually perform and keep that performance going throughout the season. I will say they are beneficiary of the fact that the Western Conference, I don't think, is as strong as the Eastern Conference. I think there are, from top to bottom, a lot weaker teams in the Western Conference this year. So I think that they'll take advantage of that. And with 9 playoff teams anymore, Jordan, it's easy to get into the playoffs. I think it, you know, they'll make a strong case. I mean, 7 points out of the first 3 games is a pretty strong start. Anytime you can cluster 7 points out of 3 games, it's going to get you pretty far in this league. And to go on the road and win in a situation that's not always easy to win in, with NYCFC having the pitch being as small as it is, and as difficult as it is to kind of get adjusted to playing like that. And I think that, you know, Portland kind of gets out wide and tries to carve you apart from the wings. And I think Evander in the midfield coming in has a huge presence. And he was somebody that, you know, had been rumored and linked to different clubs, because I think that his next stop is to a bigger club and a bigger destination is in the horizons for him. But I don't know. I think that they've made a really good case to, you know, start the season. I wouldn't necessarily put them in the, they're going to contend in the West, but I would definitely give them the, they'll make some noise, I think, in amongst that like 4-5 spot, which is, I think, a much better step forward than where they were last season, because I think they were one of the teams that was going into the decision day that you were just kind of unsure about how that was going to work out for them. And but yeah, I got utmost confidence in the fact that they've got some really talented players in Antony and Evander and Crepo. Like, I think they've got some really nice pieces. I think it'll just be a matter of, you know, does Cabecita come in and does he, you know, provide that striking ability that he once had at Club America, which, you know, I don't know if he's had recently in years past. Kind of looking at the stats that he's had in recent years, he's not been as great. He was really good with Cruz Azul as well. Looks like at his stats, he has 9 goals and 3 assists this year for Club America. So I don't know. That translates to 10 to 15 goals, I think Portland set.
Yeah. Interesting. I'd say Portland has a shot. I guess I'll have to apologize to Phil Neville, I guess. But this team's playing a lot better than I anticipated. So go to them. I'm not rooting against them the way Logan is. So it's all good.
All of the Rose City Twitter is after me, so.
Yeah, they're like Rose City till Logan dies. Okay, Toronto. Toronto has been impressive under Herdman. They sit 5th. They have 7 points. That's tied for 1st, of course. They have a 2-goal differential as they've given up 0 goals. They gave up 59 last year. What do we think about what Herdman's doing in Toronto? Are they, I would assume, in your opinion, better than expected, but can they be more than that? Like, can they be a top-tier team in the East?
So we had this conversation when Bernardeschi and Insigne came over that they were two of the best players in this league, especially talent-wise. And if they could have put it together on Bob Bradley, I think they had a good, solid foundation when Bob was there. I think right now they're kind of in a retool process where they're trying to find a striker. If they could get a number 9 that's going to be really good, they haven't had that consistent number 9. But, I mean, you look at this team, Jordan, you've got Insigne, you've got Bernardeschi, you've got Jonathan Osorio, you've got Sean Johnson. You've got really talented players, and I think players that are going to take you, you know, pretty deep in this league if they could just add a piece or two, which I think they do. I think they're going to go out and try to find a number 9 that can be that goal threat to kind of give some relief to somebody like Insigne and like a Jonathan Rosario. And I think that they can find that. And John Herdman seems to be the answer. They're playing much better collectively as a defense. And if you can defend in MLS, you're going to make the playoffs. You don't really necessarily need to score because we've seen teams that score, you know, right around the mid 30s to low 40s and make the playoffs. So I think it's interesting to watch John Herdman's team play compared to, you know, Bob Bradley, because this is pretty much the same team that Bob had with a little bit of addition, like a Matty Longstaff. But they looked really good. Charlotte had been playing pretty well too, so it wasn't like they were going up against a team that was struggling. Charlotte had played pretty well under Dean Smith, and Insigne looks like that guy that we thought we were going to get when he came over, because we were thinking, what, probably top 3 players, top 5 players in this league if he came over and performed at the high level like we thought he would. And here he is playing at the probably one of the highest levels he's ever been as far as this league's concerned. So I'm confident in Toronto. I think they're a pretty good team. I don't think they're top tier yet, but I think they're getting there.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That means you're going to have to apologize to them because...
yeah, I've got a lot of apology notes.
You got a lot of apologizing right. to do so far. I know you were on the anti-TFC train. I was a little bit more of a believer, so I just want to tout that for everyone there. So, yeah, I think they're doing great. Charlotte, like you said, had been playing well. Toronto, go out there, they get the 3 points at home. It's great. Especially not giving up any goals yet. It makes me think that they're going to be a lot more solid defensively and not give up 59 goals. You know, they're already on their way of not giving up 59. Maybe they're on pace for 57 if they play as bad as last year or whatever. But right now, they are not close to that. Okay, Atlanta United 4, New England 1 as Giakoumakis goes out there and scores a hat trick. This is only Atlanta's second game, right? Because
they had a weird bye week off because it was not a bye. They had a week off.
They started with Columbus, then they had the off week last week, and then this week they are playing, and they go out there and beat New England, who has been so disappointing so far. But yeah, so Giakoumakis hat trick. So he set a milestone here, 20 regular season goals in fewer than 2,000 minutes. And he's just the 5th player in MLS history to hit that. So those included Stern John in 1576 minutes, Joseph Martinez in 1642, Zlatan in 1841, Diallo in 1881, not years, by the way, these are minutes, and Giakoumakis in 1957. So he had a PK, then he had a header, and then he had a volley to himself that he was able to get in the back corner. And then Almada also scored a penalty after Giakoumakis went down. So I saw up till then when I was watching in the press box. I had on MLS 360, you know, while the game was going on and while it was delayed. And that's what I was doing during the delay time. And I'm like tweeting out other results going on at that point because there was nothing going on in the field in front of me. So I'm like, yeah, I'll tweet, oh, Red Bulls scored or whatever. So at that point, it was, I believe, like 2-0 when Almada scored the penalty. And then in the 50, or no, it was 1-0 at that point. And then, yeah, Giakoumakis got another penalty in the 55 minute. And then you had Carlos Heel, who gets the goal back for New England. They also extended him too until 2026, which is not much of an extension. Can we please stop treating these as long extensions? All of these accounts for MLS teams will be like, we've signed a long-term extension, and you read it, it's like, till next week. You're like, what? This is a long-term extension? What are you guys doing? I get it. I get that's just how soccer works, especially over here, but don't say long-term extension. Just tell us the year. He signed a 2-year extension. All right, that's great. It's not long-term. What do you consider long-term, Logan?
Long-term, I would say 4 years.
Yes, 4 to 5, I feel like, is that sweet spot of this is how long this is long-term. I don't know. Would you consider if you're dating somebody for 2 years long-term?
No.
Probably not.
No.
All right, so now Revs, bottom of the East with 0 points. They're tied with Orlando for most goals allowed through three matches, which are 8 goals. What's wrong with the Revs? Is it just adjusting to Porter? Is it just the squad's not there right now? Like, what do you think it is about New England?
I think there's some pressure defensively. Like, obviously, I think you don't have a good keeper like you've had in the past with Petrovic, with, you know, Matt Turner. I think Robas has some room to learn, and I think it goes back to that idea where, you know, even the center backs who they've both been there quite some time, and Romnev and Kessler, Romney and Kessler, sorry. So, you know, you've got that center back pairing. You have Mark Anthony Kay. Like, you've got the double pivot that they kind of work with in the middle of the pitch. And so I think, you know, they're just not defending as well. But I think a lot of it, too, is teams that struggle defensively also usually and typically struggle in the attack as well. So there's a lot of pressure on, you know, getting the ball back, keeping the ball, keeping possession, keeping, you know, the attacking players in the game as much as possible. Because I feel like when attacking players aren't getting their chances and aren't creating, that they're going to kind of take the back seat to whatever's going on in the match. And so when you don't have like a goal scorer at the top of this kind of the spearhead that they've created, I don't think that, you know, there's too much going on in the attack. So the defense has to overcompensate a little bit and get caught out. And then you're going up against, I think, arguably one of the better attacking duos in Almada and Giakoumakis. And I think that's a tough task, and especially in Mercedes-Benz, especially in a home opener. Like, I don't think that's an easy an easy point to grab on the road, and they weren't even close to grabbing it. Two wrong penalties, and this game was a little bit, you know, closer. One of them was definitely questionable. I'm not sure the defender was, forget who it was exactly, but he kind of, I think it was Lima maybe, but had pulled his hand kind of back to his body. I don't think it was anything that should have been called a penalty, but it was, and ended up being 2-3-0 quickly, and then, you know, it's over then. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's the adjustment to Caleb Porter. I don't think that's much of an issue. I think Caleb's, you know, proven himself in this league. And the way they played in – that's the other thing. Like, the way they've played in CONCACAF, like, I wouldn't be too concerned. Like, I wouldn't – if I'm a Revs fan and I'm sitting there, I would be less concerned than maybe I'd say if I was an Orlando City fan. Like, I'd be a little bit more concerned with Orlando than I would with the Revs, because I don't think Orlando City really have a Carlos Heel in their back pocket. So that helps tremendously when you've got one of the best players in the league.
I think it's always tough to start off a season 0 points through three matches. This is not a good start here. -6 goal differential. They've only scored twice. Very similar to Orlando. Orlando got a point in one of these games, though. Kind of worry for New England Revolution, and by proxy of that, NYCFC, who also have had 0 points out of three matches. So I know it's MLS and anything can get going, but like they need to get going. Like they need to start turning it on. I know that they're in CCC, so it's a little different. A lot of those teams are still struggling, right? Like Union couldn't even play on Saturday. That's how bad they've been dealing with the CCC. Just kidding. But the teams that have been in CCC, I think they still only have like one win. I think I saw the updated stats. So they're really struggling, all these teams. And I don't know. You got to get going. I know this is a league we've said before. You can kind of slack off a bit at the beginning, but you would hope that you'd already have a point. Who's their next game against? Do we have that? The Revs' next match is against Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's not fun. Now they're at home, so it's
Both CCC teams.
Better. They're both CCC teams. This might be your point. This might get you your point, but at that point, it's still like, oh man, that sucks. Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried for them. I'm worried for NYCFC too. They got Toronto next. They might be going without any points again. So, unless Toronto reverts back. All right, let's talk about the game you showed up to. And that they actually, I don't know if you know this, they actually played in front of you. They didn't let that happen at my game. So what was that like? And how was that game? Because 13 seconds in, what was the thought process when Maguire scores like 13 seconds in?
Yeah, it was, it was a cool night. It was their 10th year, like it's their 10 year anniversary in MLS. So they're celebrating all the player or that they've become a club in MLS. So they've celebrated all their legends. Dom Dwyer was there. Jamie Watson, who's been on the show, was there. That was really cool. He made a speech before the game. They came out, Jordan, and it was, as soon as Duncan scored, you could tell the players were, it was a little bit of like, I'm glad we got this off our chest because we've been shouldering this idea that we haven't done anything in the league. We haven't scored. So that was a big sigh of relief. It didn't help in the matter that, like, in 3 minutes, Galese made one of the worst plays I think I've ever seen him make to give it to Puki to level it. And then it was like it sucked the air right out of the building because it was like, oh, finally, like, here's the Orlando City team that we've come to expect. And I know some people are going to write about how disappointed they are in City. I read Doyle's and he was like, you know, this team's not been as good. You know, Duncan Maguire outperformed his expected goals last year. Galese was like one of the top keepers, underlying numbers. Like he won't play that well again this year. And I've kind of got some contrary belief to what I think some people take away from their slow start. I'm concerned in the fact that, like, I do think that Oscar is still trying to tinker with this lineup, and it's not going to go well if they keep playing in CCC. So as much as it would be fun to beat Tigres and bounce them from the CONCACAF Champions League, I don't see this team being one of the teams that's going to be in the final. So at this point, you're just kind of belaboring the inevitable. So I don't know. I kind of hope they put a good showing in. I think they'll get bounced in Tigres. I don't think it'll be possible to go down there and steal a game from them in Monterrey. So I think they'll be done with the congested schedule. I think they'll get back to it. But yeah, it was so exciting seeing Duncan score. And honestly, you look at this team and go, he needs to be on the pitch every single match now. Doesn't matter if Muriel's going to play next to him or, as Oscar tinkered with, Enrique was playing as a number 10, which was odd, kind of almost a second striker. And I actually really enjoyed it because he actually played really well in that spot. Nico Ladero can slip into that spot, a 10, when you need him, but I don't think he plays 34 matches. But overall, man, I was really excited to see Minnesota on the flip side because I think this team is really exciting. I was texting Jack because Jack and I was texting you, but he was texting me through messaging me. Yeah, and he was like, so what did you think of Minnesota? Kind of got a little taste of our Ilongwen, Bongi, and I was like, the kid's impressive. Like, he's so quick and he's strong and athletic. He gets into, you know, he gets into great spots. Like, this team, he was like, he's very hesitant because he was like, it's a Minnesota sports team. But I was like, this team's pretty good. Like, I will say this team is pretty impressive. And Pukki's probably one of the top strikers in this league. Like, the dude's got skills that you don't see much in this league yet.
So what was that roller coaster like when you have 13 seconds and then like three minutes later, Pukki scores? Was it like, oh, here we go?
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. You could tell it was the air got sucked out of the building. It was like, ah, crap. And then, you know, he does it again. He does it again from distance off the post and behind Gleise. And Gleise has started to look a little bit more shaky as he's gotten a little bit older. So I think there's a time in which Gleise is no longer there, and it might be next year. But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, we got Cesar Arujo, who got hurt and he was walking around in a boot. That wasn't great. But yeah, this was Jordan. One thing I will say about this team, though, was that while a lot of people are going, man, this is disappointing, this team I thought was going to be so much better, I wouldn't write them off yet. I don't think that the issue now is scoring and creating chances. They had so many chances. They created a crap ton of chances. They have 4 expected goals, which that's crazy to not convert, but just the 2 that they did. To have 4 expected goals, to create as many chances as they did. And it was like they were trying to figure out how they're all going to play together. And you can start to see that Duncan's going to be the guy that they're going to have to play through until Muriel feels out the league and figures it out.
Then you're lucky you have Duncan still, because he was about to be out.
Yes. Yep. That's what everybody kept saying in the stands too. We're like, oh, thank God he didn't go.
Yeah. All right. Red Bull New York and Dallas. Forsberg scores his first goal, penalty kick, right? But he does. He also assists with Lewis Morgan's winner. Dallas, by the way, this is what I mean by shame on you, right? Last year, Dallas let me down, but this is why I did not pick you to be great this year, because then it would have been shame on me if I fell for this again. And right now, I'm a little worried about them. They sit 9th. They have 1 point. They have 3 points. They have 1 win. They have 2 losses. I don't know. They don't look great. They kind of hang around most of these games, it feels like. But then they just either lose it late or win it late, or... That's what it seems like it's been for Dallas lately. And I don't know, I'm not very confident about them going forward the way I was like last year.
It's tough to go on the road and win. To go to Red Bull, that's tough. Forsberg looks great. And then he and Lewis Morgan, man, if they figure out how to get a DP striker that can actually do something besides Van Zier, it's like poor the Revs and New York, because I feel like, yeah, I would say both New Yorks, none of them have strikers. Like, the 3 of them are striker inept. Like, it just seems like they can't figure out how to fill that spot. It's weird, Jordan, because there's so many strikers out there in the world that are just sitting behind people, like a Petar Musa kind of thing. And it just seems like the teams that should and would figure out how to get some of these players in and have the bank accounts to do it, they just can't figure it out. But luckily, Lewis Morgan looks like he's going to start to replicate kind of that MVP season that he was having. I think that was that 2 years ago? Because I think last year he's mostly hurt. So I think you're getting that. But then Forsberg, I think, ends up being one of the top 5 players in this league, because he just has that inept ability to just create innate ability to create and distribute. And they look good. And Sandro Schwartz has this team playing some of the best soccer that they played in a really long time. And their defense is going to be solid anyway. But like you said, Jordan, I think Dallas, it's going to get ugly quick for Nico if he doesn't figure it out. I will say that. Because I think this is a team, Jordan, that they thought last year that they were going to be one of the top teams in the West. This year, they add one of the best strikers in the market that could have been available. And here they sit once again, struggling to get points. So Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think that this has been a really disappointing start, and they don't have an excuse that they're in CCC.
Yeah,
they don't.
Like I said, they get the win, but that was like what the been first late. Week, and it was late.
Yes, because it was Sealy that got the late
goal
in the first one. Yeah, and then we're clamoring in the next one. So yeah.
Miami 2, Montreal 3. Now, Miami did rest a few players at this point here. So then they go ahead and Redondo made his MLS debut as well as part of the starting 11. That was a shock. I think we had talked last week about Yedlin moving. He started for Cincy in the Champions League.
Yes. Yeah. No. He came on.
He did what?
I think he came up. Did he start?
I don't know. Remember. He did play.
He did play. I think he started. I want to say he started.
So that's good. But yeah, Montreal scored in the 13th minute. Miami level in the 71st. Then not long after that, Montreal takes the lead again. And then Montreal scores a third in the 77th minute. And then the 80th minute, Miami cutting the lead back with Jordi Alba. So really it's what? 1-0 until the 71st minute when it becomes 1-1. Yeah. And then it's
3-2. Wild. Yep.
That is wild. I think Miami's fine here. I mean, you rotated. You're still top of the East. Right? Would you like to get a point? Yes. But now Montreal is right on your tail as well. Montreal's second in the East. But if you're Miami, you do need to rotate at times. And if you are taking CCC legitly, then yeah, you're going to go out there and you're going to try to maybe you played them on Wednesday. What was that, Wednesday or Thursday? It was like Thursday, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they played against Nashville. Game was on Saturday, right? Or was it Sunday?
No, this was Sunday.
Still, it's not a lot of time. So, yeah, kind of a interesting run there for Miami. How about Montreal? Any good stuff on Montreal before we move on? They've been a shock to the East here.
Yeah, Matias Corcaro, I think is how you say the last name. He scored his first MLS goal, which is their new signing. He's their forward. And he's looked really good. Montreal's looked really good. I got to see them in person. And I think Laurent Courtois has this team at least bought into the idea of they're going to defend. And they might not score a ton, but I think they're going to defend well enough, Jordan, that they're going to be at least competitive where I didn't think that they necessarily would be. I thought this was one of those teams, and they could still, but I thought this was one of those teams that was really going to struggle in the Eastern Conference just because of the talent that they don't have. I think that they lack a lot of that firepower. You look up and down their roster and you can't really pinpoint somebody that you go, that's going to be the guy. And maybe it is Kakaro. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like they've got the, unless Joseph has some kind of resurgence and scores 15 goals, but kudos to them to go to Chase Field and to win a 3-2 matchup against a Miami team, even though they were rotating, because Busquets and Suarez did eventually come in, but not until later in the match where it really was, you know, it was kind of a factor because they all started to score late, but Jordan, it was interesting. Miami played a 3-5-2, and I've gotten into some discussion on Twitter about, or X, about just what do they do since they don't have any right backs currently on their roster. And then the answer was, well, they'll be fine in midfield depth. I'm like, well, yes, they've got about 20 of them. I don't know what you do with 20 midfielders, but I mean, I guess we'll see how that works. Because just because you hoard 10, 20 midfield players that are, you can go as deep as you want with midfielders, Jordan, doesn't mean you're going to score goals constantly and consistently. Doesn't mean you're going to defend either. So that's my concern about Miami is, and one, what happens when one of the big three go down? Or big four, I guess, if you throw Alba in there. Honestly, I'd actually say Busquets is worse than all of them. So I don't know. Like, I'm still, it's still a toss up for me because this could go south really quickly if one of them go down.
Colorado 2, RSL 1. The Rapids actually win a game. Rocky Mountain Cup, at least this first iteration of it, right? This first game of it. Go ahead and get the victory here. It's been 4 years since the Rapids won in Sandy, Utah, which was a 5-0 victory that they had against RSL on September 12th in 2020. That's pretty crazy. Cole Bassett had a 70th minute winner, so great for him. Anything about these two teams? It's good to see the Rapids kind of get on track here.
Yeah, Chris Armas said that he's finally starting to see the team that he thought he was going to get because they've got a bunch of winners, which I won't disagree with him on. I think he does have a good set of guys that are at least a good foundation. I wonder where they're going to get consistency in the attack besides Cole Bassett, because Mihailovic hadn't really looked great. So you do wonder. And then defensively, I think they'll be fine, but you never know. I think sometimes with a new goalkeeper, even though it is Zach Steffen, I think you kind of look back there and go, all right, what's this look like? Because the Rapids, while they've been pretty decent defensively in the past, it doesn't seem like they're one of the elite defenses that we talk about. So, but yeah, they look better. RSL, I'd be a little bit more disappointed because I think they wanted to at least grab a point here.
Yeah. I wasn't at that game, so I didn't jinx them this time.
Yeah, you didn't ruin it for them.
Okay, how about this? Seventh Heaven. How about that? How many of these teams have 7 points? 7 teams do. Miami, Montreal, Columbus, Red Bull, New York, Toronto, Portland, and Minnesota. Who is the most shocking? I think for me, the most shocking would be Montreal. I just think that is a team I did not see being at this level. For me, it was like Miami could get there if they're playing well. Right, Toronto, it's like, oh, yeah, they have some pieces if they can turn it around. Columbus, I think most people expected them to be good. Red Bull, New York, kind of a toss-up. Minnesota was another one I would say that I'm really shocked by, but I'm going to give the edge to Montreal here on who is the most shocking.
Yeah, I think especially when you consider what their schedules look like, they've got 5 straight games on the road to start the season, which is not ideal. The next game they have is against Chicago. In Soldier Field, and then they have a break. I think they're the odd team out the next week, but then they go to DC, so they're not home until April. Which, I mean, to get 7 points, Jordan, against a Miami team, against an Orlando team, like, that's a really good start for Montreal. And I think, like you said, I think they're probably the most shocking of the bunch, because out of the other teams, at least the other teams have that one guy I could turn to and go, that's why this team is where they are, but the other teams have played so well.
Would you say least shocking is Columbus?
Yeah, MLS Cup winners. But besides that, who would you put next to them? Like, I guess Miami because
of the squad. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, because I'm still kind of shocked by Portland too. So really, yeah, it'd have to be between Miami and Columbus is least shocking. And if we're going to take out Columbus, then yeah, I think Miami is least shocking. Now, you wrote here that last year the West finished with 44 points in ninth place, and mm-hmm. the East had 43, so that's like the bottom of the playoff spots. So do you think that these teams are playoff teams? They got the head start, right? They're like the they are the hair right now. And right now the Revs and NYCFC are the tortoise. They are 0 points. They're falling way behind. So is San Jose. They're all the 0 point teams. Those are the tortoises. Will the tortoises be able to catch them, or are these teams that already have 7 points, 5 of them in the East, by the way, are they starting to cement their spots already as being, hey, we're going to be here long term?
Yeah, when you look back at the season, Jordan, there's 34 matches. The fact that they've played 3, Miami's played 4, so they actually have a little even more of a head start. So I guess they're not as impressive if the other teams win their games in hand. So, I mean, I'm looking at these teams, Jordan. There's five teams in the Eastern Conference, which means that there are currently teams, like you said, it's like a topsy-turvy table. It was like a who's who is the top of the table. I'd say besides Columbus, nobody expects those other teams to be that top heavy. Then if you go even further, DC United's the one in behind Toronto with 5 points because they've got the goal differential over Cincinnati. But then you got Charlotte sitting there underneath Cincinnati. So in the top nine spots, Jordan, you don't have Nashville, you don't have Philadelphia, you don't have Orlando, you don't have New England. Like, those are teams that typically make the playoffs. NYCFC could even make an argument. So you're looking at four teams that are going to be, I think, vying for spots, for playoff spots, right? So that would mean that they've got to have like three or four teams come tumbling out. I think Charlotte is an easy one to come tumbling out of there. I think DC could come tumbling. I don't see Atlanta doing that. So that means one of these top teams, I think, is going to have to make that shocking move down towards the bottom. If I had to guess, it'd be Montreal. Like, I would think that they just don't have enough yet. I think they've been pretty impressive because of the games that they played. But they also have to consider the fact that they played two teams that are sitting in CCC. I'm trying to think of who else they played. But, yeah, to play those teams, it is impressive to start five games out on the road, get 7 points already. But I honestly, if I had to pick one of those teams to fall out, I don't think it's going to be John Herdman's team. I think it's going to be Montreal. So those were the two teams that I'd be in between right now. And I think Montreal is more realistic. As far as West, like, what do you think is the West? Like,
the West is hard to tell because there's only two teams with seven. So yeah. I feel like the question is more aimed at the East here because they're already got five of them. And there's multiple teams in the East with 0 points instead of the, instead of one like they are in the West. So at that point, I feel like it's getting further and further away from the 0 point teams, and it's looking better and better for the teams with 7 points. But obviously, anything can change. There's no way that this is sealed right now. I'm trying to look at what I was trying to find. Is if I could find the table as of this date last year to see how many of those teams were in the playoff spots with like 7 points and how many finished there, you know? Let me see if I can somehow find it. Let me search match day four.
Montreal beat Dallas too at Dallas.
Yeah.
That's right. I couldn't think of who their third game was. That's even, it's getting more and more impressive the more you look at it. But I can give the West, like my thoughts on the two Western teams, like I think Minnesota is going to be a top four team in the Western Conference. I'm going to call it today, write it down. This Minnesota team, and they're probably like, no, don't do that. But man, they look good. They look really good. And Dane St. Clair finally looks like he's better than what he was last year. And Jordan Boxall is huge. Like, I was watching him play. It was like, that's like, he's like half the size, or like, sorry, Robin Johnson's like half the size of that man. Boxall really? Looks like a, yeah, he looks like a bus. It's like, geez.
Okay, so I can find match day six. I can't find match day four. But match day six, there were two teams with 7 points. They were Philly and Toronto. And then Toronto will, this was 2023. Toronto plummeted after that. Right? Because they did not finish in a playoff spot. And teams that did make the playoffs and were not in a playoff spot last year would have been at this time or around this time, April, was Red Bulls and Charlotte. Everybody else was already in their playoff spots. So even though that's 6 weeks in, that is a pretty interesting correspondence there, I guess.
It's a telling sign. Like it, yeah. Like we talked about though, like when we seriously, when we look back at seasons, if you have a game, if you have a stretch of like four or five games where you're not winning at all, you're probably not going to make the playoffs.
That's true.
Like you got to think about the season in like their little quadrants, like their little, you know, split the season up into four, split the season up into eight. Like, what does that look like? Right now, not good for a lot of teams that we thought were going to be really good this year.
That is true. Okay. I'll see if I can find that or not as I'm going through. Just I want to see if I can find the actual what it was at this time last year, but I'm striking out right now. Okay. MLS teams who have played CONCACAF Champions Cup, this is what I saw before, went 1 win, 1 draw, 3 losses this weekend, 8 goals. They conceded 13. So not great is what I would say there. All right. Columbus beat Chicago 2-1. Austin St. Louis drew 2-2. St. Louis equalized pretty late. Austin has not been good to start the season here. LAFC SKC finished 0-0. Of course, that was the game I decided to watch when I came back from Philly. So I missed any good action. Vancouver beat San Jose 2-0. Actually just saw something really interesting that San Jose has the longest active streak without a winning season in American sports with 10 seasons. Ooh, that's not good. And we also had Cincinnati DC drew 0-0, and Nashville LA Galaxy finished 2-2 as LA Galaxy have continued to stay near the top of that Western Conference. All right, are you ready to look at what is to come this week, or we got anything else?
No, I think that was it. Pretty much all the notes that I had. The only other notes I had was the CONCACAF update, which was Orlando head to Tigres on a draw, 0-0. New England over Aluense 4-0. So it looks like they're going to be in the competition even longer, which probably isn't good for their league success. Philly to Pachuca, going to Pachuca at 0-0. Columbus lead 1-0 over Dynamo, heading to lower.com. Inter Miami and Nashville heading to Miami 2-2. And then Monterey, Jordan Brandon Vasquez scored in his return to Cincinnati, taking it 1-0 and headed back to Monterey. So not looking good for the MLS teams, Jordan. I would say Miami and Revs, I think, are going to be the two teams left after this week.
Wow, would it really go down to two that quick?
Or sorry, Columbus. I forgot Columbus was still in there with Dynamo, so they can't knock each other. They're still
so there should be three.
Yeah, so there's three. And two of our best teams, I think, right now, as far as having a shot to dethrone some of the Mexican teams that sit there. So I think Columbus is our best bet.
All right. So since, starting tomorrow, March 12th, which might be the day you're listening to this, Columbus, Houston at 6 o'clock in Columbus, Pachuca, Philadelphia at 8:15, Tigres, Orlando at 10:30. Philly is away from home, so is Orlando. Wednesday, March 13th, Miami will host Nashville at 8:15. Then Thursday, March 14th, Aluense hosts New England, and Monterey hosts Cincinnati. Those games are at 8 and 10:15. Then on the weekend, we have Chicago, Montreal at 2 o'clock on Saturday. That's free on Apple TV. DC facing off against Miami, that is free on Apple TV. Seattle, Colorado is free on Apple TV. Oh, you know what? They're all free this week, apparently. Okay. Trial week, I guess. Seattle will be hosting Colorado. That's also on Fox at 3:30. Then at 7:30, we have Columbus, New York, NYCFC, Toronto, Austin, Philly at 8:30, Dallas, Vancouver at 8:30, Houston, Portland at 8:30, SKC, San Jose, Minnesota, LAFC, Nashville, and Charlotte. Those are also all at 8:30. Then at 10:30, we have LA Galaxy hosting St. Louis. On Sunday, we have New England, Cincinnati at 2, And then we have Atlanta hosting Orlando, another rivalry match here. And we'll see, this is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, how Orlando can try to get some points, much needed points here. Same thing with New England. They need some points against Cincinnati. A special game that you see there that makes you interested?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of them this week. But I'll go with the Columbus Crew. And well, no, because they play midweek. Scratch that. I'm not gonna throw any of the midweek teams in there. LA and St. Louis was the next one that I saw that caught my eye. I think that's a really interesting matchup. They both sit at 5 points. I think they are, what is it, 4-5 on them? 4-5 in the West? No, 3-4. 3-4, 5 points. Goal differential, both two. LA's got one more goal. St. Louis has given up one less. And it's in LA, so it should be a fun matchup. I'm still thinking that St. Louis is a team, Jordan, that's going to make some noise in the West. Not as good as last year, I don't think, but I think that they're going to be a playoff team and continue to be a playoff team under Bradley Cornell. So I'm really interested with that game. Paint still playing. Lovren is killing it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that matchup because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So hopefully I'll try to stay up and watch that one, but a lot of honorable mentions in this week. What about you, Nabo?
I'm really curious about, Atlanta Orlando is what keeps sticking out to me, but I would probably say, I'm really curious about Minnesota LAFC as well.
Yeah.
Like, will their coach be there this time? You know, he had just gotten in, he watched the game on TV or something, I think, for the Orlando game. Minnesota's been kind of flying without one. It's kind of like, how will that, how is that going to go? So that is something I am really curious in as well. I just wanted to point out, so I think I did find the correct standings for last year at this time, which for this date, March 11th, 2023. What I have here is, yes, this must be correct then, because I'm looking at games and everything. There was three teams with 6 points in the East. Miami, New England, and Philadelphia last year. Miami totally missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they started out 2-0. Then there was two teams with 6 points in the West, Seattle, St. Louis. And Seattle was top then. St. Louis would overtake them. But those two were pretty locked in. New England and Philadelphia were pretty locked in. Miami's the only team that fell out of there last year with there was five teams with 6 points. That's like the seven teams with seven this year. So there's a chance only like one of these teams maybe drop out of these positions. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about it every year because of CONCACAF Champions League. And then, I mean, Leagues Cup is kind of an odd one, but at least they take a break from leagues play then. So it's having it, you know, it's simultaneously, and some teams do get a bigger break because they don't, you know, they fall out quicker. But yeah, no, it is interesting. Like we should honestly start saving it for our own database. Start saving things because MLS still struggles tremendously because they're just not as deep with a lot of the stats that you want
to
find.
I went to FB Ref because I was thinking, I've done that for baseball reference, but I actually found it on this website called like Sharp Sports.
Okay.
It looks like a website from 1995, but
solid. Well, at least they keep the games.
It was right. I went and double checked them with FB Ref, and yeah, Miami won their first two games of the season. That's what made me think like, am I looking at the right thing? okay. Real quick. I recorded this whole thing for a USL championship preview, but I did not put it out because it was not a good episode. So I said, I am not tainting the quality of this podcast. But I do want to just quickly cover this here. Memphis 901 beat Las Vegas Lights 2-1. That was the first game of the season on Saturday. New Mexico United beat Pittsburgh Riverhounds 1-0. Miami FC beat Colorado Springs Switchbacks 2-0. North Carolina and Charleston Battery played to a 0-0 draw. Pretty good from North Carolina. They came up from USL League One, so they're kind of in this for the first time now. San Antonio FC and Loudoun drew 2-2. Hartford Athletic beat El Paso 1-0. Birmingham Legion beat Phoenix Rising, the defending champs, 1-0. Oakland Roots beat Indy 11 2-1. And Sac Republic, Orange County SC drew 2-2 on the first week of the season. There is a game coming up Wednesday, El Paso versus Monterey Bay. Some teams still haven't played yet, like Rhode Island, the new expansion team. I didn't see Louisville yet. They are looking to play next Saturday. So are Rhode Island. Rhode Island will face New Mexico United. And El Paso is going to face Louisville. So El Paso is going to have three games by the time Louisville plays their first. Gotta love that American soccer. And it looked like Detroit City hasn't played yet either. So yeah, there's your USL update there here on the podcast. Should be very exciting. Like I said, so while we did complain last week about not having games between 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, make sure you check your USL teams if you have ESPN Plus or Golazo on CBS Sports, because there were games at 4 o'clock for USL that took place like in between that gap that we had. Now I couldn't watch them because I was driving up, you know, to be at a game that lasted 5 minutes. But it was, you know, it's just still good to know that if you're looking for more soccer and the MLS is not, and MLS is not providing it, then, you know, look to see what schedule USL is playing and you can find some more local soccer there. I don't know what's going on with the schedule this week because I'm going to be leaving for vacation on Monday. So Logan and I will figure out how that's going to work. But hopefully we'll be talking to you guys next week. Anything else before we head out?
No, looking forward to this slot of games this week. I think they're going to be a lot of fun. And seriously, teams are going to start to look like a little bit in trouble here, because they're going to be focused on one competition, and then getting right back in MLS isn't always the easiest thing. So if your team is struggling, I would say past this week, I think it's time to get those yellow flags out, because it's time for some cautionary, some cautionary thoughts there.
All right. Well, that will wrap us up here at Stateside Show on all of our social medias. Make sure you email us statesideshow@gmail.com. If you want to share any thoughts or feelings about what we are saying. Have a great rest of your week. We'll catch you next time here on the Stateside Soccer Show.